toasting your toes. Toasting your toes. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Toasting your toes. Oh, goodness sakes. Today is the 27th day of December 2008, and the time is 7:37 in the morning, and the temperature in my hermitage here is a little cool. It's down on the 60s, or 58 degrees, and I notice that my heating unit for my house here is not functioning, but I didn't realize it wasn't functioning, and it hasn't been functioning for some time. But I have a plug-in warm heater, and I had the heater not realizing it was doing all the work for heating my room here. Fortunately, I have just one beautiful large room here, and that's all that I have to heat, so it makes it quite nice. Well, outside the temperature is about 31 degrees, right around freezing, and it's interesting, Rex in his beautiful fur coat, he was out sleeping outdoors in the freezing cold, just enjoying himself because he loves to be sleeping in the rain and the cold. He's an outside dog. He's a beautiful, wonderful, long-haired golden retriever, as glorious as they come. But little Love, our little mini miniature pin, he comes into the house and he crawls into his bed and gets under his blanket. He lays in front of the heater wherever it's on, and he just soaks up that heat. He just thinks that's the most wonderful thing in the world. And I join with him, toasting my toes. And I'll sit there with my feet up in front of my heater, as I would in front of the fireplace, letting my toes get toasted. And people around the world love to sit with their feet in front of the fireplace and toast their toes. Now, what is it that's so significant about toasting our toes? It's on the other end of our body from our head. Our head is where our brains, so to speak, are. And our heart is sort of up there near the top. And our stomach is getting down closer to our legs and our toes. But our toes are an extremity. They're out at the very outer limits of our body. And when we toast our toes, oh yes, we feel a little warmer, but is it more of a attitude or is it a fact? Well, perhaps it's a combination of both. A combination of both attitude and fact. Our toes are in the lesser stream of our blood, but yet they remain warm and toasty when we keep them warm and toasty. And when we put our toes in front of the fireplace or in front of the heater and we warm them up, they are warm and toasty. And how wonderful that is. But you know, it makes me think about the penguins down in Antarctica and how these penguins walk around on the ice with their feet and how they will take an egg that they're hatching their young in, and they carry it sort of tucked up under their tummy on top of their feet as they walk around. Now, their feet are not more than an inch from the frozen ice, and their tummy is keeping the egg warm, but yet their feet are perfectly comfortable. Their feet do not get frozen. You think, goodness sakes, can they have enough blood flowing through their feet to keep them warm? How do they do that? And it is something of an enigma to understand. But when you really know life's intricacies and the magic of life, it's not really quite so difficult after all. For our body is our mind. Our body is a reflection of our mind. Our body is the action of our mind. Our body is our mind in action. You might say, well, don't you mean brain? Yes, our body is our brain, but the thing is, our mind is the universal mind. And the universal mind acting through our brain operates our body. Because our brain itself could not operate our body. It does not have the ingenuity, it does not have the majesty that the universal brain has. It's merely the computer that operates through it. The computer is only as good as its program, and so the brain is only as good as the program that it uses. And the more the brain recognizes that it's the mind that is doing all these things through it, as it, in it, to it, then it is that which it experiences. So, again, we put our toes in front of the fireplace, we put them up, and we toast them and roast them, not too much, but a little bit, and they feel just wonderful. And they feel just wonderful. It's not a matter that they are wonderful, which indeed they are, but they feel wonderful. Now, when you're lying in bed at night, and you're lying under your blanket, and you're in a very cold environment, and if you lie down naked in your bed, and you touch your hands to your body, you feel very cold with your hands. You feel even your body is cool. But when you take your hands and move them slightly away from your body without touching, you do not feel any warmth or any cold, because these things are all attitudes of mind. And this is how the Tierra del Fuego Indians on the southern tip of South America can swim and chase fish in the ocean, in the cold ocean waters that are just at freezing, and not think a thing about it. And how the children can play in the ocean while their parents are at work fishing and think it is the most delightful thing in the world. They are not taught that the ocean is cold or warm. The ocean just is. They are not taught that they are cold or warm. They are taught that they just are and is. As a penguin does not feel that the ice beneath its feet is cold, as birds who hold on to a tree limb do not feel with all that tension that it keeps the blood from flowing into their feet, that their feet are cold. Frostbite and these other things, they're all mental. They're all things that happen to us because of our consciousness, because of our mind. And when we toast our toes in front of the fire, it is a mental and a beautiful experience. And you might add, well, it feels good too, it's warm. Well, really? Truly? Maybe so. Maybe not. Think about it for yourself. What controls your life? What controls your world? What controls my every action, function, and organ of my body? What controls who I am and how I am and where I am and what I'm doing in my life? What controls these things? It is controlled by the thoughts that are going through my brain. It's controlled by the mind that functions my beingness. And as my mind is one as the allness, as I am untouched by anything, then I am that which I am untouched by. I tell the story of the Reader's Digest report on these prisoners who had agreed to work for the government and take an examination of going up to the area of the Arctic and living for a week without any clothes on, living outdoors in the weather, sleeping on a canvas, and none of them were cold. Oh, perhaps they were cold as they thought about it, but they were given a psychological training that they were warm and they were in charge. And then, at the same time, a group of service people, a group of men from the army, were asked to participate in the experiment, and a number of them did. And these men lived just like the prisoners had, and they were given the story that their mind controlled their body, and they were warm, and they were cozy, and they were. And both groups of men, as a scientific experiment, showed that they could live under this rather terrible weather condition and be untouched by it. Now, is that something that anyone can do? Oh, yes. Is that something that we do every day of our life? Oh, yes. We don't realize we're cold until we realize that we are cold. Now, you heard correctly. It's when we realize we're cold, then we're cold. If we don't realize we're cold, we're not cold. If we don't realize that we have something missing in our life, then we have not something missing in our life until we realize we have something missing in our life. If children in third world countries living basically on rice believe that rice is a wonderful and a good substance to have, and they eat it with great joy, and they eat it thoroughly and wonderfully, and they love it, what happens? Well, they believe they have an ideal meal, and their bodies are nourished by this ideal substance that maintains them in a perfectly normal way. True, they're a little slimmer than a lot of children around the world, but perhaps ideally so. And they do not know any difference. Then, as Western, so to speak, foods are introduced into their environment, and they get to know salt, they get to know other types of substances in their body, pretty soon their body starts crying out for that. It wants that. Well, true, it wants that. But it doesn't know that it doesn't need that. It doesn't know that it does that, that is not good for their body, because it begins to put them into a different pattern, and they will want that pattern. And when they want that pattern, then they're no longer happy on just the rice diet that they had. Now you say, well, Herb, scientifically and what have you, what you're saying is totally incorrect, because the body needs all of these things. And that's true. The body needs these things, and the body was created by the ideal creation to create within itself all of the various substances that it needs to exist. And by having the substances that we put in from the outside at a minimum, then we are certainly expressing ourselves in that maximum possibility of who we really are. Now, that could be taken on into a greater depth, but for the moment, suffice to say that these things have been proven true and will be proven true. And one day, the medical profession tells us that the scientific community says eggs are bad for the body. And the next day, they say you should eat 7 eggs a week. And the next day, they see you can never get too many eggs. And the next day, they say eggs are bad for you. It's a matter of who's doing what type of research and how. And they say that salt is bad for you. And then they say salt is good for you. They say you should have a minimum amount of salt. And you should have this. Well, your body will naturally reject those things that are not beneficial to it. Unless you encourage it to take things that are not normal for it. It's not that it's not good or bad. The body rejects whatever is not normal for it if it is given an opportunity. But if it is enchanted with the idea that alcohol is good, if it's enchanted with the idea that nicotine is good and that the caffeine and coffee and teas and things like that are good, then it will have a new mental attitude. And the new mental attitude will try to change the physiology of the body itself, causing the body to once need something that it had never a need for in the past. We live in a very fantastic world. We live in a world that is utterly amazing. We live in a world where we love to toast our toes before the fireplace. And of course, we will toast our toes before the fireplace, because that's what we love to do. And it's really quite a wonderful experience, isn't it? But think about it. Our body is our thinking. Our body is our mind. Our body is how the brain accepts, receives, and implements the information from the mind. The mind, acting through the brain in the body, does whatever the brain ultimately allows or disallows the body to do. Allows or disallows the brain to flow through the body as whatever the truth of itself is. And the truth of itself is whatever it chooses to make of itself. So, for now, toast your toes before the fire and delight in its warmth. But realize you are much more grandly made than that. You are the ultimate mind itself. Open your mind. Open your brain. Open your body. To be one as the infinite mind of all, being the truth in you now. Have a wonderful day, and know that I love you eternally.